Hey guys.
Hey, oh, Phil. Hey,
Phil. I'm Jen. I don't say hello
hi.
To you.
I know. Hi, Tess. Yeah.
We're just like, it's like Phil's the centre of the universe, isn't it?
Don't massage his ego too much, Tess.
No, that wouldn't be good for me.
No.
Have we had a good day?
Yeah, we've had a super day.
Yeah. Chelsea's looking good at the moment.
Very good. Having a hacking cough, but...
Yeah, looking sharp, fella. Nice to see.
Thank you.
How's the marathon training coming along?
Pretty well. Quiet week, but before that, really good.
Yeah,
enjoying it.
It's good.
Which is weird to say that. I don't really like running.
But you're learning to love running.
I'm learning to enjoy the process of running.
Yeah.
Tolerate the running.
You've done a bit of timber as well. You lost a bit of weight.
On the scales, nah. Inches, yeah, I could probably do with a new wardrobe.
Yeah.
But considering I have no social life, it's not massively important.
I had a friend once.
Yeah.
Did you?
I did.
Shocking.
I did. What are we talking about today?
The knee over the toe myth.
Is it
I've
myth?
I've started with myth. Okay. The myth should be the, is it the bad thing that we have been led to believe it is. I think as we've kind of considered for years that it's not a bad thing, and the reason this podcast came about was because the other day I was doing a session with a person and I actually said, don't worry about the knee going over the toe, and they were like, what, that's meant to be bad for you. And I was kind of shocked that's
still a thing.
That it was still a consideration by people. I just thought it was like now
everybody
the accepted thing. Yeah. And like we've obviously done some research towards this topic today and seen the articles, and actually the articles are fairly new this year on the knee over the toe and debunking the myth, so we seem slow to the race, but actually we've been saying it for a while.
It's interesting, mate, because it's something I still deal with as well on a daily basis, is talking to people about it, and so I think it's a good idea to do a podcast and let's just have a chat about it and let's dispel some of the ideas and talk about the ideas and let's have it working.
So who said it? Where did it begin? Where did it come from?
Well, I think where it came from was an article written in the Scandinavian Journal for Sports Medicine in the late 80s, early 90s. It was a series of articles. It wasn't just one. When it was looking at female instances of a cruciate ligament ruptures. And the cruciate ligament ruptures was very prevalent, still is very prevalent in female sports. I think the statistics are shocking. Sort of, it's 25% of elite female athletes will at some point rupture their cruciate ligament. And simply, you know, they did some wonderful work, wonderful research, and they simply just looked at why are they getting these injuries and how do they occur? And they sort of studied and they found out that... something called shearing forces occurred when the knee was in a certain position, and it seemed that the ACL or the cruciate ligament would always rupture in that particular position, and that position happened to be a valgus or an inward motion of the knee whilst over the toe. And unfortunately, I mean, it was great research and it was really well done, but they sort of, again, you could always argue or discuss the how relative the results were, but what they did with the results was then say, well, okay, we never ever want the knee in that position because that's where the ACL goes, and you know, as we know we know we don't want that. We want to train those positions, and we're going to go on to that later and talk a little bit about that later in the podcast. But ultimately, that was where it came from initially, that the studies proved that in valgus and over the toe, ACL in the female athletes had the ruptures, and so started that the knees are never allowed to come inwards and knees are never allowed to cross the toe because this was the position of the ACL rupture. And all rehab protocols and everything else and have been erroneously, in my opinion, based on these papers, which were very, very significant papers of their time, but unfortunately have guided a way of squatting, lunging and training and step-ups for the best part of 30 years now.
And that's still going on as well, isn't it, with like rehab protocols for ACLs and even in some of the healthcare professionals, they're still advising not to allow knees to either come in, which is a different conversation, but knees to drive forward over the top. And actually, you should be squatting with your back either up against a wall or dead straight and still managing to keep your knees from going over your toes. That's still something that's taught because of the risks or because of the perceived risks to the ACL when you're either rehabbing it or if you've got somebody with any sort of knee dysfunction or pain, I suppose.
I mean, effectively, that knee down against the wall, that chair position, the only way we can physically elicit the chair squat is by doing it against the wall.
Yeah.
In the sporting world, the vertical shin is the low bar back squat.
Yeah.
Or the box squat, where they ask for that vertical shin, but then with the vertical shin comes a change in bar position and then that forward lean of the torso to be able to achieve that position of vertical shin. So we're in a place where we actually, to achieve that position, we've got to make these training adjustments that are moving us away from actually what the body is, how it's designed to actually move.
And there was a study that looked at that, didn't it? And even this is way back in 86, I think, and it looked at powerlifters and it compared successful powerlifters to the sort of less skilled powerlifters, and they had a tendency, the less skilled, to do that sort of bending forward, leaning forward, to try and, they sort of hypothesised it was because they didn't want their knees to drive forward, but actually that then increased the load or torque going through their hips and their back compared to the more sort of elite powerlifters.
Yeah, I think that's, I've also got a similar study here, which was the University of Memphis in 2003, saying that knees extending over the toes significantly increases stress on the knees. Placing a barrier to block the knee increases the torque on the hip. But either way, they're just shifting
weight. Yeah.
The axes of force or where the stress is, yeah. Either forwards or backwards.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it needs to be over the centre.
Yeah.
The centre of mass.
And who's to say that sort of torque and stress is something that you don't want through joints? I mean, obviously, there's to a certain extent, but when you're doing a squat, particularly if you've got weight, there is going to be stress going through a number of joints. So rather than having it always over one side or always over one joint, then you're going to need to separate them out. It's not that the stress or the load through the joint is the problem, it's how we do it as opposed to what we're doing.
If we have more stress going through one joint versus the same stress going across three, then we've got less stress.
Yeah,
because the loads don't change, it's just the stress where doesn't change, them, yeah. It's just where we're putting the stress. So I think going into the leverage of squatting. Leverage on the knee. So when we squat, this is a type 2 lever at the knee. So that is where the effort force and the resistance are on the same side of the fulcrum. So in the squat, the fulcrum is the knee. So then the effort force...
So that's sort of the pivot point, isn't it? As to which...
Yes, yeah. So if we're going into that vertical knee position, then we're saying that the fulcrum is the knee.
Yeah.
The effort force and the resistance force, so the resistance is the weight, what we're trying to push up, and the effort is coming from the joint proximal or above the knee, so the effort is around the quad, the hamstrings and the hip.
Yeah.
So with that type 2 lever, the further away we move the hips, so sending the hips backwards to keep that vertical that vertical shin, that increases the lever arm. So when we increase the leverage, that means that we are getting a greater stress at the fulcrum.
Yeah.
So with less weight,
you're increasing.
It takes less. With less weight, we still have greater.
Yeah. A bit like how hard it is to hold something out in front of you directly with your arm straight out. It's so much harder than it is sort of bringing it closer towards you. So it's, as we all know, trying to bring the centre of gravity or centre of mass closer towards your...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is why going knees over the toes means that everything, the knees are closer to the centre of mass, the hips are closer to the centre of mass, and the weight is closer to the centre of mass. So therefore it's... the force is dissipated better.
But they still, I mean, you can still look back and people still quote studies to say that that torque increases at the knees, and that's what I think it's hard to dispel, isn't it? Because yes, that is the truth, but that isn't necessarily a bad thing. And there's no research to suggest that you're increasing the likelihood of injury by bringing your knees further forward to your knees. So there's a study done in 2013 that basically said that. So although it's a common sort of perception that you're going to increase the injury to your knees if you do that, then there is no suggestion that's the case. They looked at some cadaver studies to say that actually the highest compressive forces through the kneecap would be seen at 90 degrees, which would exactly make sense because if you're...
Yeah. Which is then, I mean, actually talking about squatting and leverage there. So if we do the, from the performance point of view, the low bar back squat, the box squat with that vertical shin, if the force at the knee is greatest at 90 degrees and you are just breaking or you are just at 90, that is the most stressful position in the world for the knee, and that is your bottom position.
Yeah, and then so, try and push back out of that.
And now you're trying to push back out of that. So you're in the worst position of the squat possible, which is the bottom. That's the hardest point in time. It's easy to fall into a squat. Standing up is where the effort is. So that point of change from going downwards to back upwards, that point of change is at 90 degrees in the knee.
Yeah.
Whereas when the knee drives forwards in the squat, as we then stand up, that 90 degree angle of the knee is now way past the pelvis has come higher up in time. The pelvis and the knee are not at 90 degrees.
Yeah.
The pelvis is above it when the knee gets to 90 degrees, which is then probably the top third of the squat, quarter of the squat.
Yeah.
So you're just finishing off the squat, which is, if you don't finish that part off, you're soft in the head.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question, Gemma?
You can try. Yeah.
The research you've been reading there, how are they measuring the amount of torque?
That is a very good question. I'm not entirely convinced I've got the answer for, if I'm honest. Okay. And I don't think they talk about that. I think they talk about perceived stress through the knee.
Working harder, moving greater weight feels harder. Or if you feel more stressed, but that's why I say my inkling was it was a perceived...
One of the studies that was done that looks at sort of the depth of squat as well, which is, again, 2013, they look at the Newtons through the patella and the forces, but again, they're looking at cadavers, so obviously that's easier to...
Yeah, that's a shame.
Load, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, of course, muscular strength has a huge ability and also... activation of different muscle groups. We don't think we need to cover too much of that now, but activation of different muscles has a huge amount to say in the fact that when you come forward with your knees going over your toe, then you will have a greater sort of a lower down patella tendon stress, where the sort of wall squat or the wall sit, as we've been talking about there, the stress will come a little bit higher up towards the hip. And that's also, of course, extremely relevant based on the area of the muscle. So of course they will perceive that there's greater stress in the knee because the tibia is moving. If the tibia is, that's the shin bones moving, and the femur's moving at the same time, then you will perceive the stress to be a little bit further down in the knee. So if it is just based on where do you feel it hurts the most? And of course, you feel it hurts the most with the squat where the knee comes over the toe. But whether it is the most stress for the knee, I doubt that very much.
The other thing that going from, like you say, going from the stresses sort of through the knees is looking at the contact time between the kneecap and the femur as well when you're sort of pushing up and out of it, and the adaptations of the cartilage and the soft tissues around.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. Yeah. So they talk a bit about this similar study and doing MRI scans and doing a movement MRI scan by the looks of things, where they have professional weightlifters. And actually, they found that they possess significantly higher cartilage thickness in their kneecaps than people that aren't weightlifting, etc.
So
without injury,
so the greater demand and stress has stimulated
the body has adapted. Yeah, so yeah, which yeah. There's no suggestion that would be a negative thing. It looks
I mean, what's interesting, like, I mean, this experience that I've had with working with athletes, this is purely observational, anecdotal, but I had once had a young lad, he was only 21, does CrossFit, squatting regularly, and he had chronic tendonitis for the last 1 to 2 years in both knees.
Really?
Couldn't walk up the stairs, couldn't walk down the stairs
Blimey.
Without pain.
Oh, okay.
When I assessed his squat, he had he had very poor ankle range, so very poor dorsiflexion, so he naturally had a vertical shin. And it was just interesting that vertical shin that can't go over the toe.
Yeah.
Now the guy's got chronic tendonitis. So if that was so safe, if they're not coming forward is
yeah.
If going forward is so bad, why is someone that physically can't go forward got chronic tendonitis
in
the knees?
Even though, as they said, that there isn't any sort of real sort of research to suggest that anything will cause injuries to the knees when you're squatting in that position, you can sort of hypothesise that if you do stay at 90 degrees, if we know that the forces are going through the knee at that stage, you can see that you're going to get the tendonitis, the different loading of the cartilage, the sort of pathologies that are then associated with that. And it's the same when you then look at the position that the hips and the back have got to get into. You can, even if you don't have all the research to back it up, you can hypothesize that that's going to put more pressure or more stress or more load incorrectly through the lower back, through the hips and the pelvis.
I think that I think that when we're squatting there, like you're saying, you stress the structure, the structure becomes stronger and you use it. So it goes back to controlling it. I mean, it doesn't matter what position we're in front of the toe or behind the toe, if you have too much stress to cope with in that particular situation, then it will end up dangerous for you. The question is what are you using it for? Why are you using it? What are you doing? What was the reason for that particular activity? I mean, I know one of the big surgical issues, and we have a podcast on surgery coming up shortly, but it is what we call posterior medial compartment. If you imagine the knee divided up into four sections, and it's the back inside area there's a lot of, especially on the femur, which is the top bone in your leg, there's a lot of wear and tear on that bone there, particularly in the leg extension. Not that we should talk about leg extension, no, we're talking about squatting, but leg extension machine, which in my humble opinion should be banned from every fitness center in the world. That will take another day. But what you've got is you've got in nature, we tend not to have, as you've alluded to, JLC, there, that we tend not to have one bone moving and one bone still. They tend to be moving in tandem and moving with each other. And the problem you've got there is when you've got a fixed lower leg and you've got the upper leg moving on top of that, it's not getting... The simplest way to describe it is the tibia is not moving out the way. When the tibia is moving forward over the toe, it's opening up the knee, and it's when you don't have that forward motion of the tibia, it's in the way, so it's staying there. And then, so the top bone there, the femur, is coming down, and you're actually getting this banging in the back inside compartment of the knee. And that's where we see the wear and tear to the articular cartilage, is that they're, you're having that bang and wear and tear. The the meniscus is a little thinner in that particular area as well, so there's a little bit more exposure to the bone below. And it is, I mean, it's a very simply, it's just bone banging against bone. So it's just the tibia doesn't move out of the way. So as you're moving the femur down, you're just getting this collision at the back aspect, and you're wearing away the cartilage. And we have a picture of that, which we will post as a part of this podcast for you guys to see exactly what we're talking about. So I think the next thing to talk about is, as we just discussed, is what we're going to use these squats for. I think the decision then is we're not saying for 1 minute that it's wrong to have the knee behind the toe or the knee in front of the toe, or you should or you shouldn't, or you should always do this. What we're saying is it's important to understand why you're doing what you're doing.
And that it's not bad to have the knee go over the toe, which is what we've been led to believe.
Yeah, exactly. And of course the knee should go over the toe. And the main reason for that is because that's what it does in sport.
That's the functional application of squatting. Knee drives forward. That is relevant in most exercises, most movements, most sports. So why are we not training?
Yeah.
We need to train the body to do that.
You only have to look at either the Olympic lifters to see where their knees go, the sort of elite of the elite, see where their knees go. Yeah. But also children, have a look at children sitting in a squat. Their knees are nowhere near.
Yeah.
That's sort of behind their toe. They're completely over the top of it and they don't have any knee problems. It's been the sort of way that we've adapted and changed and almost restricted ourselves that's caused half the problems.
But then we run, the knee comes over the toe, we cycle, the knee comes over the toe, and they'll argue, oh yeah, but running hurts your knees. And it's like, well, if running hurts your knees so much, why can there be men in their 70s and 80s running marathons still? Like, we could probably scan those knees and see that there's no cartilage in there. So having no cartilage doesn't mean that there's knee pain and that we can't run anymore. So it's one of those things that are all just statements that get thrown out there, that ultimately we are machines that are wearing down. So we are going to see signs of wear and tear. And it's not because the knee comes over the toe. It's because we're using ourselves. Yeah. We're using the body. Okay, sit down, do nothing, see how healthy you become. Like, you're going to be unhealthy. You're going to have joints that aren't worn out. Yeah, probably. But you're also going to be chronically ill from not moving.
Yeah, exactly.
So a completely different health issue.
Absolutely. So I think control is a really key word here. It's control and understanding of what you're trying to replicate. And as we've said, you can use as many hours as you want. And you can see in any sport, you can take golf swing. You can take walking upstairs. You can take cricket, you can take any sport in the world, and pretty much in every step or change of direction, the knee will drift over the toe and it will drift inwards. So we need to make a decision. Do we want our athletes to be able to understand that, or do we want our athletes to never train it? Because the reality is that knee is going into that position. So we've got a choice. Do we make that motion strong by learning a motor pattern that understands it? Or do we not do that? Do we train, avoid it, and say we never go there because we're going there?
Yeah. And just hope that you don't get in there and then get injured? Is that
yeah.
A,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, since this myth, we'll call it the myth, knee over the toe myth has come about, it's been around for a long time, knee pain's not going away.
No. Nope.
Injuries haven't stopped.
No.
So it's not...
They're worse, there's more.
It's not worked. It's not that knee pain's been solved and knee injuries disappeared.
You have to see my clinic list to realise that knee pain hasn't gone.
So, yeah, that gives us the answers. Simplistically, that gives us the answers itself.
Yeah.
It's not working.
And we have a podcast coming up soon on what we call the functional continuum. And we'll cover a little bit more of exercise selection in that. But suffice to say now is that it is about... And analysing the sport that the motion that this person exists in their daily activities, and trying to replicate it and make it as strong as possible. and so the nervous system understands these positions. And then there's benefits that go with that, as Jim has said with quoting a paper there, that that when I have more stress through the knee and my body has to work harder, I stimulate things and I grow things and I have more integrity and better, and finding the balance between that and then not wearing down too quickly is crucial. It's old news, but it seems like it's for some reason needs to be
still coming around.
It's still coming around to bite us again. But I mean, as I say, it's not wrong to take your knee over your toe. It's not right. It's just what you need to use it for. I mean, the runners that I'm coaching, I'm making sure that I'm curing them and physically sort of demanding they push their knee as far over the toe as possible when they're doing the lunges, because that's exactly what they do running, especially downhill running, the stresses that go through there. It's very important to prepare them for it. So that's a key element there.
Good.
Perfect.
Have we covered it all, team?
I think so.
If you've got any questions, though, and you'd like us to cover it that you don't feel have been answered, if we have missed something, then please fire them over, because we'd love to try and explain it all as best as we can for you.
Take it easy.